Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today, Bob Enyart Live celebrates National Atheist Day. Today, National Atheist Day. Now, I know not everybody recognizes this holiday, but we do. We keep it every year. We've been doing that for years at Denver Bible Church. This year, this day, every year, National Atheist Day. The Bible says that atheists are fools. That's what the Bible says. Now, so many Christians have been taught that you can't call anyone a fool. And then atheists don't get the benefit of getting the wise judgment of the righteous. When Christians, wise Christians of a good reputation, could say to someone, a neighbor, a friend, a family member, I want you to know that you are a fool. You say there's no God, you are a fool. The psalmist, you know, the psalms, they're so nice. Aren't they so nice, the psalms? That we love God, we praise him, he's mighty, he's powerful, he's righteous, he's good, he's loving, forgiving, merciful. That's the psalms, 150 chapters of nice stuff. Except for Psalm 14, which says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Oops, I violated FCC regulations. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, their Bible verse up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would dare quote a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. All right, that was Psalm 14. Psalm 53, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's the fool. And Christians say, well, that's the Old Testament, as though God in the Old Testament were evil. Was God evil in the Old Testament? And then he went for counseling and he became nicer in the new? No. When Jesus quoted the Bible, what did he quote more often, the Old Testament or the New Testament? Now, I'm not going to answer that. I'm just going to let that lie out there for some Sunday school teachers to wrestle with. Did Jesus quote mostly the Old Testament or the New Testament? Because he quoted the Bible a lot more than, you know, the average Christian book quotes the Bible. Jesus quoted it a lot. Did he quote the Old or the New Testament? Well, maybe Jesus was mean in the Old Testament, then he went to counseling, went to diversity training, some kind of tolerance program. And he got nicer. But if he did, he had a relapse in Luke 12:20. In Luke 12:20, because Jesus speaking because it's in red letters. And he said, God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. You fool. So we Christians, it's very merciful to tell the truth to someone who's in dire need of hearing the truth, that you say there's no God. You know, the evidence for God is overwhelming. The fact that you could even think, that you can breathe, that you exist, is overwhelming evidence from God. But let's talk about some of the evidence. Is there evidence for God? Well, the universe is here, right? The universe is here, and it's filled with stars, and the stars are on fire. So think about that. How can this get the way it is? Well, there are a few basic laws of physics, the laws of thermodynamics. And let me tell them to you in layman's terms. They are these. A rock cannot make itself from nothing, and a fire cannot burn forever. A rock cannot make itself from nothing, and a fire cannot burn forever. Now, what does that mean about the origin of the universe? How did the universe get here? The universe has a lot of rocks in it. And stars, and it's got a lot of stuff in it. Can stuff make itself from nothing? No, that's fantasy. That's magic. That's silliness. It's not scientific. So could the universe have made itself from nothing? No, it can't. It cannot do that. Okay, well, then the alternative is, was it always here? Well, the universe is on fire. quintillions of stars. Is that a big enough number? Quintillions? No? Septillion stars. Octillion stars. Nontillion stars. Is that a big enough number? Decillions of stars are on fire burning. And can a fire burn forever? No. Why not? Because it would eventually consume its available fuel. So those are the first two laws of thermodynamics. The first law is the conservation of energy and matter by the natural universe. By the natural universe, if there are no supernatural influences, by the natural universe, natural physical laws of science, neither matter nor energy can be created nor destroyed. So a rock cannot make itself from nothing. And the second law of thermodynamics is the increase in entropy, which tells us that available energy goes from being more available to less available. So that once a fire is burned, if you have a campfire, you can't reburn the same campfire with the same fuel and get the same heat for the same length of time. You can't do it. What if you capture all of the ashes and all the smoke of your campfire? You have 10 logs, big ones, little ones. You burn it, the campfire, it's fun. You roast marshmallows. You sing praise, you praise the Lord, singing around the campfire. Have a great time. And then it's all over and you captured all the smoke and all the ashes. And you got the cinders in the bottom of the campfire. And you put it all together and you could say, hey, that was fun. Let's do it again. And you go to light the cinders. Can you have the same fire, the same heat, the same glow? No, you can't, because of the second law of thermodynamics, that available energy has, that level of available energy has been used up. And now the energy is less available to perform the same kind of work. So that stars in the heavens cannot have been burning forever. The universe cannot have been burning and working forever. You can't have a perpetual motion machine. That's against the most fundamental and well-tested laws of science. So the universe could not have made itself from nothing, and it cannot have been here forever because it would have worn down by now and it would all be cold and dead. It'd be the same temperature everywhere. So it had to have been created sometime in the recent past. That's one piece of evidence for a supernatural creator, because if the natural universe cannot, by the laws of physics, the natural universe cannot account for itself, then that means that the universe must be the result of a supernatural influence. There must be a supernatural origin for the natural universe if natural laws cannot account for the universe. So there's one piece of evidence for the existence of a supernatural creator. And how about the origin of biological life? The origin of biological life. Now, Darwinism and survival of the fittest, that doesn't help at all when you think about how did the first life begin? The origin of biological life. You know, the simplest life forms we have are these single-celled organisms. But cells are so complicated that our advanced technology looks primitive compared to a single cell. In your body, there are about a trillion cells. And each one is far more complicated than a Boeing 747. In a single little cell, there are hundreds of millions of machines. The simplest components in a cell is a protein. They're proteins. And they're little machines. And they do very critical chemical jobs, and they do countless different jobs. And they're coordinated. All those millions of machines are coordinated by hundreds of millions of instructions, digital instructions. That's what's going on inside your body in every cell. Living cells are the laboratories that make an organism's chemical components. Yet those cells themselves are made of the same chemical components that they make. And so the cells need the proteins and they need the DNA, and the proteins and the DNA need the cells. It's a circle. And you can't get the instructions first without the cell, and you can't have the cell functioning without the instructions. And so biological life is so wildly complicated that it could not form naturally. It's not possible. For example, for life to begin by chance, apart from a creator, then what the first simple life has to do, here's what it has to do in order to be life. Okay, it has to be able to process raw materials. It has to be able to contain itself and separate itself from its environment. It has to encode instructions for how to make itself and how to keep itself functioning. It has to be able to implement instructions. It has to be able to do chemical processing. It has to be able to reproduce. So for the very first living cell to be considered life, it has to do all these things. And that whole system is irreducibly complex. You can't get all that to happen by chance. You can't do it. All right? So that's the second piece of evidence for the existence of God. Biological life. By the way, we've got a video called Unlocking the Mystery of Life. This aired in Colorado on Channel 6, the PBS station here. And it aired on PBS stations all around the country. Not all of them, but many of them. And it is a fabulous video, DVD or VHS, against evolution. Why did they air it on PBS? I have no idea. I can't even begin to comprehend it. But we make it available here at Bob and Yurt Live. You could probably get it from PBS directly, but you don't want to do that. Why support them when you could support a Christian program? And so you can call us at 1-800-8-NYART. And I tell you, the quality of this video, this slams evolution so badly. Darwinism and evolution, it slams it so badly that the majority of people that I'm aware of who watch this video, who are flirting with evolution or thinking evolution is probably true, when they see this, they say, you know what? Evolution can't be true. That's the majority of people that I'm aware of that have watched this video. It's, if you've seen any NOVA programs on PBS, the great quality, even though it's most of what they say is wrong, it's all evolution and atheism. But you know the good quality of NOVA? That's the quality of this video, Unlocking the Mystery of Life. This is just like NOVA, except for the animation is this. The animation in this video, Unlocking, is better than any animation NOVA's ever done. This is a good video. And it'll show you how the cells work, and it will blow you away, and it'll help increase your faith. And it's a good witnessing tool to others. So you can call us $24.95. You get it on DVD or VHS. It's one of our most popular videos here at Bob and Yurt Live. And by the way, you could go to our website and read more about it. You could even see a five-minute clip if you'd like at kgov.com. All right, another piece of evidence for the existence of God is consciousness. Think about that, consciousness. You are aware of your own existence, right? I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. So that's, who said that? The Frenchman, Descartes, right? So you're conscious. Now, a computer, computers are pretty capable of doing awesome things. Are they aware of their own existence? You turn them on and they say, oh, finally, I'm back on. They don't know that they exist. How can you get, if you just have atoms and molecules moving around in a test tube, you got rocks and dirt, if there were no God and there's just the physical world of physical elements, how do those elements become aware of their own existence? How does that happen? Think about that. We human beings, we can't even conceive of a way of trying to describe how a bunch of molecules could become aware of their own existence. We can't even conceive of a way of making a computer actually intelligent and aware of itself. Never mind that we can't do it. Like, for example, there are a lot of things we can't do. If a baby is developing in the fallopian tube of his mother, it's an ectopic pregnancy, Well, we don't know how to take that baby and safely put it in the womb. If we could, then even then we could save the mother and the baby. But we don't know how to do it, but we could conceive of what it is. We want to move the baby from the tube into the womb and enable it to implant. And if we could do that, then we could save both. But when it comes to consciousness, how do you get your computer to know it exists? How do atoms and molecules know that they exist? How do you pull that one off? There's no conceivable way. There is no conceivable way for the natural world to become aware of its own existence apart from the spiritual realm. So that since we are alive and since we are aware of our own existence and since the universe is really here, we know that there must be a supernatural creator who has existed forever, who is able to design and implement biological life, who is self-aware. There has to be a creator like that. Because cause and effect, the effect can't be greater than the cause. And the universe is here because there was a creator powerful enough to make it and wise enough to design it. And biological life is here because that creator was intelligent enough to encode the DNA of all living species. And we are conscious, we're aware of ourselves because our creator is aware of himself. And we have a conscience and morality. And where does the conscience come from that there is such a thing as right and wrong? People who deny the existence of God also deny that right and wrong exist. They say that, well, we can have preferences as individuals or a society, but there's no such thing as absolute right and absolute wrong. And they're wrong, and we embarrass them for 13 years on Bob and Yurt Live, we've embarrassed them. We asked them, is it absolutely wrong for a man to violently rape a woman? And these reprehensible freaks, they say no. And we say, was it absolutely wrong for Adolf Hitler to slaughter 6 million Jews, men, women, and children? And these wicked atheists say no. And no surprise, right, that the Nazis were National Socialists. They were atheistic evolutionists. That was their philosophy, atheistic evolution, where there is no right and wrong. You do what you feel like. It's survival of the fittest. And so if we want to kill the Jews, that's what the Nazis did. Because you can't condemn what the Nazis did from the foundation of atheistic evolution. Because they were stronger than other organisms and they were killing them and using their resources for their own benefit. But if there is a God who created us, who instilled within us a conscience where we can know right from wrong, and we could either follow that conscience or not, then we're in big trouble. By the way, what would an atheist say to all these arguments? What would an atheist say to these arguments? Well, if you'd like, you could read a debate on this. It was online in front of a live internet audience. But it was a written debate, a 10-round moderated debate at theologyonline.com, probably the best Christian website in the world. And the debate was, does God exist? Every so often at Theology Online, they do a battle royale. This was Battle Royale 7, Does God Exist? Bob Enyart versus Zaketh. And what a battle it was. It's, 170 pages? Right, it's 170 pages. You can get a copy from us here at Bob and Yurt Live. We'll be happy to mail you a copy. We sell this for, what's the price of this? I've got a catalog here, $19.95 plus shipping and handling, 30-day money-back guarantee, as with all our materials. And you could call us up, 1-800-8-N-YART, and order this, or go online at kgov.com, kgov.com, or 800-8-N-YART. And this debate is so much fun because you get to see, here's a Christian presenting evidence for God, and here's an atheist. And Zaketh is a lifestyle atheist. He's not just I don't think there's a God. He's committed his life to defending the position that there is no God. And so you could see how an atheist responds to these arguments. And before the debate, I suggested a test whereby we could determine who won the debate, or at least which of the opponents believed that he won the debate. If Zaketh won the debate, the atheist, afterward, he would be inclined to promote the debate. Tell people to go read it on the internet, print it out, sell it on an internet store. But if the Christian won the debate, if I won the debate, Bob and Yart Live, then we would promote the debate, and the atheist would wish that it had never happened. And you read the debate, and you will not be surprised to see that the Christians are advertising the debate all over the internet. Go to Google, type in God, see what pops up. Does God exist? Bob and Yart versus Zaketh. We're selling the debate. Zaketh is running from it as quickly as he can. So, in fact, he started running while it was still going on. Hasn't stopped yet. So anyway, you can get that, and I think you'll love reading it, and it'll help hone your skills to witness to others. Other evidence for the existence of God? Look at the solar system. Our solar system. It was Isaac Newton who said, and he's the guy who figured out gravity and light. Sort of a smart guy, and he was a Christian. And Isaac Newton was asked, well, couldn't the solar system just form from a spinning gas cloud, a nebula that condensed and made the sun and the planets? And Isaac Newton said, no. That was his opinion. And now, a few hundred years later, we have overwhelming evidence to show that the moon can't form by itself. Our moon could not form by natural consequences. The moon creates this perfect solar eclipse with the sun. How does that happen? Well, the distance to the sun and the size of the sun, the ratios are the same. How much further is the sun from the moon, from the earth? Anybody know? Anybody in the studio audience want to sort of shout out? 400. The sun is about 400 times larger than the moon, and it's also about 400 times further away. So that we can get a perfect eclipse here on the earth, and only on the earth, none of the other planets, get a perfect eclipse. And there's so many neat aspects of our solar system that couldn't happen by chance. For example, Venus, every time she passes the earth, she shows her same face to the earth, sort of waves hello at us. Now, you think, well, maybe gravity between Venus and the Earth could... No, gravity can't do that. The moons of Jupiter, how they orbit Jupiter in synchronicity. One goes around one time while the next goes around exactly twice. The next goes around exactly four times. It's so neat how God made the solar system. Time constraints from biology. Evolutionists say, okay, you get the first living cell, and then by mutations, you get all these improvements, and pretty soon you have a million different species. Oh, yeah? How long would it take to go from a chimpanzee to a human being? Well, you know, evolution happens so slowly, you can't see it. Oh, but there were 4 million changes between chimps to humans, apes to humans. Oh, how long did that take? Well, we came off from the apes just a few million years ago. Oh, really? So there were millions of changes in just a few million years, and it happened so slowly we can't see it, and it has to happen so quickly that it's blindingly fast? You guys are confused. Mutations do not introduce new information to make new features in living creatures. Mutations break things. Mutations break things. You know, everywhere you look, you see evidence for God. Everywhere, at everything you look, everything screams out that there is a God. I'll give you an example. Dirty jokes. Dirty jokes, even Bill Maher from Politically Incorrect provides evidence that there is a God. Why is that? Because we human beings, we can feel uncomfortable or laugh or feel funny about our base bodily functions. Our physical functions make us feel uncomfortable. But if we didn't have a soul and if we didn't have a spirit, there'd be no context in which we could feel funny about our physical functions. If we were only physical creatures, we couldn't feel funny about physically doing, reproducing or whatever, or relieving ourselves. It'd be just, hey, that's a horse right in front of another horse all over the street. Who cares? But we human beings have a soul and a spirit, and so we have a context from which to view our bodily functions as lower than our other functions of love and commitment and wonder at the creation of God and worship. We have higher biological functions, like, for example, eyesight. Do you know how complex the data is that your eye sends over your optic nerve to your brain? If you took a snapshot of that data, do you think what gets to your brain is a picture of a waterfalls with rocks and flowers? That's not what gets to your brain. What gets to your brain is the most complicated symbolic data that you could imagine. And how does the laws of physics, do they have a symbolic logic function in them? You know, the laws of physics like gravity and inertia and electrical attraction, positive and negative charges. Is there a symbolic logic function where just naturally the molecules in your body began to take input from photons hitting your eye and converting them to a very complicated code and sending that code through your body, and somewhere else it decodes it and you figure out what it is you're looking at? No, these things cannot happen by nature. And finally, we have the Word of God, the Bible. Now, we didn't always have the Bible. So if you say you can only argue the existence of God from the Bible, that's a little confused, because then before we had the Bible, before Job, before Moses, what, you couldn't tell people there is a God and here's how I know why? No, of course. God has revealed himself through the creation and through his word. And in his word, the Bible, there's overwhelming evidence for the existence of God, overwhelming evidence. In fact, there are prophecies given centuries and even millennia before their fulfillments. And most of those prophecies pointed to Jesus Christ, when he would be born, where he would be born, how he would live his life, where he would die, how he would die, being crucified, and that he'd be raised from the dead. So there's overwhelming evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we'd like to help you equip yourself to defend the gospel to unbelievers, to strengthen your own faith. And there's a few ways you can do that here at Bob and Yart Live. You can, well, I already mentioned the debate, Does God Exist? Bob and Yart versus Zaketh. It's 170 pages. You could read that. We think you'll love it. Now, anything I mention right now, you could go online to KGOV.com, check it out, get more information, decide if you want it, or call us at 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278. So there's the debate, Does God Exist? Bob and Yart versus Zaketh. Or we've got a video called Unlocking the Mystery of Life, which is produced by a third party, and it's just extraordinary, Against Evolution. You could get that on DVD or VHS. And we've got a video on the resurrection of Christ that we've produced called Mount Moriah in VHS, a tape. It's a two-hour video on the evidence for the resurrection. It's so neat. You could also get a video from us called Confronting an Atheist, a one-hour debate on TV where I got to debate an atheist, a lot of fun. We've got another video called Does God Exist? 2 hours of evidence at a seminar we did in Indianapolis, 2 hours of evidence for the existence of God. So these are some of the tools we have to help you defend the faith. As the Bible says, be ready to give an answer to those who ask. So, hey, we enjoy studying the Word, and we want to help you if you're looking for help. You know, do you need help from Bob and Yart Live? No, not at all. We all need help from God. You could get help from your own church, from 1,000 different sources. But at Bob and Yart Live, we're doing our best to equip others to preach the gospel. So if you'd like to be a part of it, call us 800-8-NYART. Now, this is Bob Enyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.